Welcome to the Cozy Ink Podcast. My name is Leah Bailey. Each week I feature interviews with your favorite cozy mystery authors. Let's get cozy. Hi, Michael. Welcome to Cozy Ink Podcast.
Hi, Leah. Thank you so much for having me. Really great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Ferrara Family Mystery Series?
Absolutely. So the way I describe it is it's the Golden Girls meets Nancy Drew. It's literally three older Italian ladies and the one, Alberta, who's the lead protagonist. It's her granddaughter, Jinx, who is an investigative reporter. And together, they combine forces to create the unofficial Ferrara Family Detective Series. It starts off, the whole series launches in the first book, Murder on Memory Lake, when there's a dead body found floating in Memory Lake, which is the backyard to where Alberta Ferrara Scaglione, lives. The body turns out to be Lucy Agostino, who is Alberta's sort of frenemy, her nemesis for her entire lifetime. Jinx is there. Jinx basically says, I'm an investigative reporter. You know the deceased. Let's join forces and solve the mystery. They get Alberta's older sister, Helen, who is a former nun and kind of a gruff, crotchety, but lovable character. And Joyce, who is their sister-in-law, who is African-American and a former Wall Street wizard. So she's really rich and she's retired. So the four of them join forces and they go out to solve mysteries.
My nickname growing up was Jinx, one of my nicknames. So I thought that was cute when I saw it.
No way!
Yes.
No way! Oh, that's so funny. Well, the reason, her real name is Gina Maldonado. They're all very Italian. And as it's revealed in the beginning of the first book, she's born on a Friday the 13th at 13 minutes after midnight in the aisle of an Atlantic City casino. And the woman next to her who's playing the slot machines lost all her money and she says something like, I can't remember exactly, but she's a jinx or whatever because the woman didn't hit the jackpot and there's a huge storm. That's why they're there. They're stuck there. And that's how she gets her nickname. They all think it's really funny. And there you go.
That is funny. I think that's a much better backstory than how mine came about. So what inspired you to begin writing?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I have been writing since I was a child. And one of my tips to anybody out there who is writing, has any kids or younger relatives or just students who are writing, tell them to keep what they write. Don't ever throw anything away because I did that. I got rid of so many things that I wrote when I was 12, 13, 15. I remember the plays. I remember what I wrote. I remember the stories, but I just don't have it. And it would be so wonderful to be able to have that hard copy material. You know, now you could save everything on a computer, but it would just be so great to look back, see what I wrote, see my own handwriting, you know, see how you've grown as a writer, all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, so I was writing when I was a kid. I'd write plays, I would write short stories. I even wrote my own soap opera when I was a teenager called, now this is a really wonderful title, Secrets. Very inventive. And I wrote what they call, yeah, I know, right?
No it's wonder it never went anywhere. It's very descriptive of a soap opera though.
It really is, and you can totally see the logo, Secrets, you know, pass across the screen. I wrote what they call a Bible, which is basically the plotted storyline for about a year of story. So I did all that, and I can't find it, and it's so, you know, it's so disappointing not to be able to have it. But so from there, I went to New York University. I was a journalism major. I never took real creative writing classes, oddly enough, because I just never thought it was something I could do professionally. So I took journalism. I majored in journalism. I hardly used that. I have a very non-linear professional track. We'll leave it as that.
Okay. I think a lot of writers do.
Yeah. You know, I have a day job now. I have a wonderful job right now. I'm an agent for theatrical designers at a big talent agency. My first love is, always will be, writing. And that really does come first for me. So yeah, so I bounced around from a lot of different jobs. But it's great because I take all of that information that I learn at these jobs and I plop them into some books.
Among all the characters in the Ferrara Family Mystery Series, who would you like to cook you a meal and what would you have?
Oh, well, that has got to be Alberta because, excuse me, she is the typical Italian grandmother where love is expressed by food. She always has food at the ready and she's a really good cook. She can't bake to save her life, which is something I thought was fun to throw in there because she can't be that perfect. So I have to give her some flaws. But I have to tell you, my go-to comfort meal is chicken parmesan with ziti. And that's what I would have her make for me. I might have her do a little eggplant on the side because I love eggplant as well. And that's, I mean, I can make her make everything because she's just so good and I love Italian food. But that's what I would have her start with. A little chicken parm with ziti and maybe a little side entree appetizer of the eggplant.
What about dessert? That's always like big for me.
Yeah, dessert's huge. The problem, so here's the thing. I just thought this would be hilarious. And it was a nod to, in the Golden Girls TV series, they always had their cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I couldn't lift that, of course. So because I do liken the women to the Golden Girls, I thought, what am I going to do? And I didn't want Alberta to be always cooking, like I said. So I made her be a bad baker. So they eat Entenmann's. They have every type of Entenmann's cake, Danish, donuts, tarts, whatever the Entenmann makes, they have. So that would be our dessert. My favorite Entenmann's are they have like these little cherry pies, I guess. It's not in a pie shape. It's more of a crescent. I can't remember exactly what it is. It's almost like what an apple fritter looks like, but it's cherry and it's my favorite. So that's what I would have. I would have dessert, that, and the ladies always have some sort of flavored vodka to match what they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That so we might have delicious. To have some. It really is. I give them, in the upcoming book, Murder at Veronica's Diner, I do give them a signature drink. Because after three books, I kind of ran out of flavors. And I was actually inventing flavors, you know, that I couldn't even find at the liquor store. Because one has to do their research.
Vodka companies take note.
Exactly. So I made up a whole bunch of different flavors.
So how did the women in the Ferrara Family Mystery Series come about? Was there anything in particular? Did they kind of walk onto the page or into your mind? Or did you see something that inspired you? What happened with that?
They came into my mind and onto the page reluctantly, I must say. I was not of the mindset that I could actually write a mystery series. So I've written some young adult supernatural trilogies, a bunch of other fiction. I've never written a mystery. My editor suggested, planted the seed, I think you should try a cozy mystery. The fans love them. There's a lot of reader, it's a rabid reader base. And I said, I just don't know if I can do that. You know, it's complicated. You have to plot out a mystery for every book. Someone's got to get murdered. You have to have, you have to have the clues and the red herrings, and it's got to be logical, but kind of fun. So I don't know what happened. I don't know when it flipped, but I realized that to me, a cozy mystery series is a soap opera. It's a continuing story set in one location, and it just happens to be a hotbed for homicide. You know, somebody's dying every week, every book, every episode. So I love soap operas. I have since I was a kid, since I was in sixth grade. I remember it clearly, and Days of Our Lives was on. I was homesick, and the woman said something like, "I have a bad feeling about that." And my mother was there, and she said, "That's never good." Whenever they say that, it's never. And I was hooked. So once I realized that A Cozy Mystery for me was a soap opera, and I could approach it that way, the doors opened up, and I was able to then create these women. I knew that I wanted to write about a generational, like a family. I didn't want to just have one person on their own. I wanted it to be a family group. I am Italian. That's what I come from. Family is very important. It's always there. You can't get away from it. And I liked that dynamic. And that's how it started. You know, from there, trickle down to the four women getting together.
If you were spending the day with Jinx in Alberta, where would you go and what would you do?
Oh, wow. I would probably start out at Alberta's because she lives in the idyllic lakeside community of Tranquility, New Jersey. And that's a real place that I had never gone to, but I always saw the sign. And oddly enough, what I described in the book before I got to see the town is pretty similar to what really exists. So I think that I would like to spend time with them there and then get in the car and just drive. Because wherever they are, adventure is not far behind. So I know that wherever we go in New Jersey, whether we go north to the country or south to down the shore, we are going to have a good time. And we will have some sort of an exciting adventure. Hopefully none of us will get murdered. That would really be a bummer. I may cause somebody to get killed, but we would have a really great time. And I would love to just hear Alberta's stories of growing up and of her ancestors and hearing how Jinx hears the stories from a 25-year-old mindset. I think that's really interesting and fun. And you learn about a lot about yourself and each other when the two generations start to talk to each other.
Speaking of the generations and the family connection, what does Jinx admire about Alberta and vice versa?
Oh, that's a great question because that really is the crux of the series in my mind. It is the interrelationship between Alberta and her granddaughter, Jinx. So a little backstory, Alberta's daughter, Lisa Marie, left New Jersey after the women had a fight. So Alberta and Lisa Marie have not been talking to each other for about 10 years, which meant that Jinx was younger, went with her family to Florida, and Jinx really didn't have a relationship with her grandmother. She went to college in the North, she settled in the North, and now they're together. So they're really rekindling their relationship for the first time as adults. They don't have a lot of that. Jinx doesn't have memories of her grandmother very much, like a granddaughter would as a child. So what she admires most about Alberta is the fact that even though she's a 64-year-old widow living on her own for the first time, she is not withdrawing. She's not depressed. She's not looking at life as if it's over for her. She's really looking at life with fresh eyes, and she's realizing she has many more years to live, and she's not done living. So she's experiencing, Alberta is experiencing life almost like a new woman coming out of a marriage, which wasn't really the best. We go into that in the book. And Jinx really admires that about her grandmother's strength, and also her compassion. And Alberta admires in Jinx her strong-willed independence, because when Alberta was Jinx's age, she already was married and had two kids. And she was living the life that was really expected of women of her time. And she wasn't bucking convention. She wasn't doing anything different. She was letting the people around her, primarily the men, dictate how she should live her life. And Jinx totally doesn't do that. She wears the pants in her relationship with her boyfriend, Freddie Frangelico. And she is very determined to be a successful reporter and live on her own terms. And Alberta greatly admires that. And the way the two of them come together, they really book after book, they start to grow because of each other. And I love how that develops. And now that, you know, the fourth book is about to come out, we really get to see how they have made a rather large impact on each other's lives and personalities.
I have one final question for you that I ask everyone who's a guest on the show. What is a mystery to you?
Well, I kind of answered that a little bit. A mystery to me is an opportunity for an adventure. It is a chance to rely on your own skills, your own intuition, your own strength to solve a mystery, to go to a place where you probably would not willingly go, and to use your inner strength to solve something that nobody else can, and to prove to yourself, yeah, I can do that. And not be afraid, I should say as well, because Alberta especially has lived her life a little fearful of making decisions, fearful of what is in the future. And when you have a mystery, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So if you're afraid, you're never going to solve the mystery. You have to plunge in full heart, full mind, and go forward.
I had so much fun chatting with you today. Thank you for coming by the show.
Thank you so much. If I could, I just wanted to let everyone who's listening know that I am going to, on my website, which is michaelgriffo.com, I'm going to do a countdown to the publication of Murder at Veronica's Diner, which is on November 25th, also happens to be my birthday. And so every day at the website is going to be a little bit of trivia, maybe a little game, maybe a little giveaway. So it'll be fun to come and visit.
That does sound fun. Listeners, Michael writes the Ferrara Family series as J.D. Griffo. He is active on his website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. His Ferrara Family Mystery series is available now. Please check the episode description for links. For more information, check out my website at www.leahbaileyauthor.com. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for my newsletter for exclusive news, deals, tips, upcoming author interviews, and more. Until next time, stay cozy.